up for this kind of game. Lord have mercy.
Trib Live Radio presents the Steelers Roundtable with Trib Steelers writers Mark Cabali, Ralph Polk, and Chris Adamski. We talk Steelers 365 days a year. The best Steelers coverage is on Trib Live Radio. The Steelers Roundtable starts now.
Good morning from Pittsburgh. This is the Steelers Roundtable featuring myself, Mark Cabali, Chris Buzzsaw Adamski. To my flank, Ralph Polk will be joining us. He's en route to the Queen City. We had that conversation, didn't we, Buzz? There's a bunch of Queen Cities, but he's heading. I hope he's heading to the Cincinnati version of the Queen City.
But Charlotte, is that a Queen City too?
That is the Queen City as well. Yeah. There's a lot of Queen Cities. Okay. And I noticed your Dunkin' Donuts got off pace real quick here. It looks like you didn't have enough cream in that. What's up with that? You know, Dunkin' Donuts is a sponsor of Trib Live Radio.
And I won't mention that.
So I'll push mine to the side here.
Yeah, that you happen to. That's a rare.
Well, you know what? I was out of rhythm today, and it was a mistake.
No cream? I don't like a lot of cream. I try to go. I don't know what it is. I used to hate coffee, and then now that since I've had kids, I just drink coffee all the time. And now
I think it's
I
just
taste
because
coffee.
You're trying to be like me.
Oh, here we go.
Well, speaking of that, let's talk about football. We don't care about. Yeah, we do care about coffee. There's this big guy. He's about 6'5 and a half, 241.
Not heard of him.
He may actually be gracing the turf of Heinz Field. Come Sunday, Big Ben Roethlisberger is due back. Well, he was supposed to be back last week, or I guess he had an opportunity to be back last week. Buzz, first of all, do you expect him to play? I guess all indications have. I mean, Ben is at his drama queen high right now. he's filling it, and that's what he does. And it's kind of interesting with pain, no pain, aching knees. Pain is never an issue, but anyway, we don't see him on Sunday.
Unless there's some kind of setback, of course. I mean, something could happen throughout the week. Maybe he responds badly. I can't even think that would be an issue at this point. Maybe he gets, I can't imagine somebody hits him in practice in any sort of manner, even accidentally.
I was a little worried, though, yesterday with having to be forced inside on that turf. It's all you hear those guys say, boy, it takes us an extra day or so to get our knees. You can really, I remember talking to Max Starks back in the day, and he might, man, I really hate playing on that turf because your joints really do feel it. I mean, if there's going to be any test, I think it would be yesterday, even though he went through the full practice, but I don't think we'll ever know. You think he's going to tell us if he's hurt today or not? No.
He might tell us just so he looks more heroic when he does
play. Well, I think we'd have to notice if he's out on the field or not. I mean, you'll be able to see if he's taking majority of the reps. But what a perfect timing, huh? We talked about this, about a month and a half ago. It's probably been a month now, September 27th when he got hurt. Is they finished this stretch at 2-2 without him, and I think you even put it at 500 would be a good number. So you like where they're at right now with Ben coming back, 4-3. This schedule gets rough all of a sudden. I mean, you get Cincinnati, you get Oakland who's playing better. Then you got that rough of Seattle, you know, Cincinnati again, Denver, Indianapolis. So do you like their position, and is this a must win if you want to – any shot at the division?
Oh, yeah. If you want to win the division, I can't imagine them making up it would be then 3.5 games over 8 games to play. Even if you beat them, you're probably then going to lose the divisional tiebreaker now because that lost to Baltimore. So even though if you split with them,
you're talking that. Tiebreakers week 7 already.
Well, you're talking division title in week 7 already.
Well, you're 3.5 behind with 8 left. It's hard to make up.
Yeah, So this is for the division. Now, does the division matter that much? Yeah, you don't want to go on the road. I don't know if the Steelers now with 3 losses at this point of the season are necessarily. You're going to say I'm looking ahead now again, looking at any kind of bye situation, you're probably playing that first round anyway, but you get a home game rather than going on the road. Now, last year playing at home didn't help them at all. I don't know. I think they're still in a good position for a playoff spot. But you started out the question asking whether they emerge from this Ben-less stretch well, and I'll stick with what I said at the time. I said if they can go 500 during the stretch, or even if it was an odd number of games, we didn't know exactly how many games he was missing at the time, and they emerged from it at 500, whether it be 4-4 or whatever it would have been, you take that.
Even if they were you know, 3 points away from beating Baltimore, sure to beat Baltimore, and you're 3 points within Cincinnati. I mean, Kansas City with 8 minutes left, and you're very close to being 4-0 in that streak. You still take 2-2.
Well, you also were half, like 6 inches away from losing to San Diego during that stretch too. So it, you know, it is what it is. As a wise man,
unless it was what it was.
So, I think they deserve to be 2-2 over that stretch. That's what they were. They beat a good team. I guess maybe not even what their record is or what they've done without Ben. I think maybe by the eye test, I personally feel like from watching this team over 7 weeks, I feel like they're a better team than I thought they were maybe in July 25th when they reported to camp or even by on September 9th before the regular season started. I think they've actually looked better as a better team. These very deep analysis there in my mind. I personally feel better about their chances to go farther and get in the postseason, go farther than I did, you know, whatever, 1 month and a half ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Hey, the numbers are out there. When Ben comes back, it's not necessarily means he stinks when he comes back off of injury, but more often than not, they lose. I don't know if the numbers 1-5. 2-4, somewhere around there. When he comes back for some reason or another, that initial game coming back, they have not been successful as they needed to. I mean, maybe it had to do with who they played. I don't know, but this is camp. I mean, we're undefeated Bengals right here, so you're not getting any more difficult. Is it going to take? I did a story about this earlier, and of course they're going to say absolutely not. We'll jump right back in. But legitimately, is it going to take some time? This group of killer bees, or whatever you want to call them, and throw Wheaton and Miller in there. Killer bees and a couple M's. Four B's and an M? Could that be it? Four B's and two M's. Miller, Marcus, and the four B's. Ben, Bell, Brown, and...
And you can say Bryant.
Yeah, Bryant. The four B's and two M's or something. Now, I don't put together a catchy, what's the morning show called now? The three, I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Benzie and Laird and Junker after us. They call them something. I was coming up with some kind of clever nickname, but my point is, are they going to be, this is going to take some time. They have not played together since that, what was it, the Bills game? Fourth preseason game, and Le'Veon only played like two snaps that game. So you probably have to go all the way back to the Packers game that this group was together. Is it going to take time? I would imagine it is, but what does that mean? Does that mean a quarter? Does that mean a game?
Well, I don't know if it's not like this is a, I don't think football necessarily, when you're talking about receivers and you know, the fact that the quarterback is the one that's been out for over a month, I think it, forgetting everything else, he's the one that needs to be in the rhythm because he affects, other than Le'Veon Bell, affects everybody else's.
But the 1-5 record says that something's wrong when he comes back off of injury, right?
Well, yeah, so, all right. Well, it's more the, I think it's irrelevant the fact that they haven't played together. Like, I don't think it matters now that Martavis wasn't there the first, 3 weeks when Ben was there, 2.5 weeks when Ben was playing. I think that's kind of out the window.
Is it taking more of a, for getting back into rhythm with Todd Haley, maybe? I mean, he's been spending 4 weeks of not trying to lose games in the first half or the first three quarters. Now does he take a big sigh and say, finally I get to do what I need to do? Or like, hey, how do I do this? I mean, is it going to take him to get into rhythm?
I wonder if we'll see Antonio Brown throw a pass in the first drive.
I think that's safe to say that won't happen. I saw Greg Warren throw a pass yesterday. Maybe he's their number two guy. But you think Haley jumps? What I'm saying, do you think this misses the beat? Because the last time we saw these guys, they were in St. Louis, and I think Ben had like 10 play drive, then they struggled a little bit, but does it?
Yeah, it wasn't. They weren't scoring. It wasn't the best offensive performance that game.
They put up 70 points in the first two games. I think Ralph's with us, isn't he? Ralphie, you finally with us?
Yes, indeed.
Where are you at, Ralphie? You in Akron? You in Cincinnati? You in, like, I can't
I'm
even think of another.
I'm actually almost in Columbus. I think I stopped by Ohio State and see if they have any more players available for the Steelers.
Yeah, you know what? That might not be a bad one. You know what? They got a defensive. Isn't Joey Bosa there? Is that his name? Is he coming out this year? That could be a good
one. He is some player, Joey Bosa.
Yeah, he could be a good one there. Okay, Ralph, you're into Cincinnati, so your cover's blown. Everybody in the world knows you're going to Cincinnati to talk to, I don't know who you're going to talk to. We were talking to Buzz here before we got you on the phone. We were doing some of our Periscope stuff here, so we excluded you for a while. But we were talking about...
I'm aware. I was listening to you talk about the killer bees.
The killer bees and the two M's.
For Ben Roethlisberger if he has a poor game on Sunday, but go ahead.
Well, what do you think? You think this offense comes back at 100%, or do you think it takes some time?
I think it's going to take a little time. I think, unfortunately, for Roethlisberger or Steelers fans, that it's going to happen against the Cincinnati Bengals. But, you know, we need to stop and pause for a second. You know, the one thing about the Steelers, it has been the pattern over the last, you know, two or three seasons, Mark, and you probably listen as well as anybody. You cover along with anybody. It's kind of been that pattern for a long time. You come out and you play a team like you're supposed to be. Let's take for granted how everybody, you know, the fact is that Kansas City was a 1-5 team, but they lost to 350 teams. You know, with a combined record of 18-0. And so we had the sense that they can go into Kansas City and lose that game. But they come back and they play a team like Arizona, and to me, that was their best game of the season. You know, against a team that was at the time 4-1. And I think this team, you know, Cincinnati, I think they have their guards up. I know they know that, you know, the Steelers are ready to play this game. This is the game that they can win. I mean, it just happens. It's just the way it is.
I know. I am absolutely worried to death. I wouldn't say worried because I don't worry about anything, but concerned if you're the Steelers about this secondary. My goodness. I mean, William Gay looks, or at least he sounded like he was going to play yesterday, but who knows how that's going to pan out. But even if he does, you got the Cockrells who dropped the 5 interceptions in practice yesterday. You had the Antoine Blakes who got the broken thumb and getting targeted. You got the Boykin who's, you know, angry at the world. Now all of a sudden you got Andy Dalton putting up 400 yards a game and 30 points a game. I'm worried about the secondary, picking them apart.
Are you trying to do a pro wrestling thing, talking like the Iron Sheik here, saying the in front of everybody's last name? That's what it sounds like.
What?
The Boykins, the Boykin. I don't
know.
Nah,
you know what? Beyond the Iron Sheik uses some colorful language.
Yeah, I know. I probably couldn't go that far with it. But, you know.
The secondary has to be. I mean, they've given up 400 yards to Palmer. They gave up 200 to Alex Smith, for God's sakes. And he was throwing the ball to some guy named Chris Connolly and, you know, Albert Lewis.
And that's the thing is, Brandon Boykins, I almost want Gay not to play, just to see Boykin play, to see what the heck happened with Brandon Boykin. So much optimism when he got here, so many positive reports from around the league and from Pro Football Focus.
The best slot corner in the game, I was told by everybody who follows Pro Football Focus.
So
what happened? I don't know.
I know. I kind of want to. I'm curious myself. I don't know whether the coaches are justified, and they're not dumb. They don't want to lose, so there's something they're not seeing. Is it a personality conflict? Is he as good as has been reported or has been graded by your fine favorite website?
Well, you know what? It wasn't only Pro Football Focus.
Yeah,
there were people
in
Philly said he was good.
Yeah, there was.
Ralphie, do you think this? I mean, the news broke when we were like rolling into Kansas City last week. Cortez Allen on the IR. Tomlin said Tuesday, yeah, you know, his knee just never responded. I just wanted to say, liar, liar. He practiced forever. This is more than just that. Did you like that decision just to sit him down? I think it's going to come back and zap him in the butt. They're going to end up needing him.
You know, Mark, you and I have, you know, disagreed on a lot of things, but we certainly agree on this. You know, and I think, first of all, that, you know, I want to go back to a second about, you know, Brandon Boykin. Yeah, my reality about that kid, there's a reason why. I'm not a big fan of Chip Kelly, but there's a reason why Philadelphia got rid of him. It has nothing to do with the fact that he didn't want to play the slot corner. You know, there's always a lot more involved in that. I think one of the biggest problems with Brandon Boykin is an unwillingness to want to make a tackle. I think that starts with it, first of all.
I did see him miss one yesterday in practice.
The fact that they couldn't make a tackle to save their lives, you know, and now you want to start Brandon Boykin wherever he plays and slot on the corner if William Gay is not able to go. Yeah, we've been concerned about the corners on this football team for a long time. And instead of getting better, it's gotten worse. And yet, I still think this defense is better than it was a year ago. And to me, it has a lot to do with the interior, that front seven. But this is still, you know, a situation where, like you, as you mentioned, you know, going against Cincinnati with A.J. Green and Marvin Jones, you know, and Sanu, it's going to be, you know, it doesn't look good. And I tell you, if they don't play good out on football, and if they don't make tackles, they play the way they did on Sunday, it can get ugly.
Yeah,
but then again,
miss?
I have to remind myself, this is the Steelers, and they'll probably bring their A game against Now, speaking of Cortez Allen.
That's a big one.
I think anybody in the free world who has, you know, is thinking objectively about this, you know, we see these guys practice every day. We watch them play. There's no way I think, you know, that Cortez Allen has a serious knee injury. I think there is something wrong with him.
Yeah, it's called between his ears, right?
The biggest thing wrong with him is upstairs. I think mentally he can't bring himself to do the things he needs to do on the football field with that knee. And as he said many times to me, and I think maybe he said to you too, Chris, you talked to him last week, is that he doesn't want to be on the football field. He's going to be a liability. Well, even before his knee injury, Cortez Allen was a liability. Yeah, and so I think it's happened now is that, you know, the Steelers, this is the easy way out for them, to put him on the injured reserve. But again, it goes to the Steelers and the Patriots in many ways manipulating their roster. This kid, I don't think he's seriously injured. I think he can play, but I think mostly he's just not confident in what he can do in the football game.
But are you more confident in Isaiah Fry, who they just picked up, or Duran Grant? If it gets to that point, I don't care how messed up
he is. Duran Grant was one of the most overrated corners in college football. I said that the moment they drafted the fourth pick.
I think Rob hates
everything. Why he's on the practice squad.
For a guy that lives in Ohio, you hate everything Ohio, don't you? From Cleveland to Columbus to Duran Grant.
He loves Johnny
Manziel.
This
is not true. This is not true. I like the Indians.
What about the Cavaliers?
They're all right.
What about Toledo?
Oh, now, how you talking? Money is, baby.
Oh, I forget what we were talking about. Cornerbacks. Yeah, you got Duran Grant, you got Isaiah Fry. So I think it's just a weird, weird situation why you decide to put Cortez Allen on IR right now. I mean, I don't understand. Buzz, do you think he comes back, ironically, or I guess it wouldn't be an irony. It would be coincidentally, I wrote one part of my four downs before he got cut about Cortez Allen, about how I at least believe he has another year left in him with the team, just monetarily wise, and who they have left. Everybody's free agent except Cortez Allen, I believe. Some sort of free agent. I guess Cockrell's.
I mean, Cockrell's under control, but he's not.
Yeah, but that's if you want him or not. But yeah. I guess there is. I mean, did this Cortez Allen's the guy they gave $24.5 million new dollars to last year? Is he back next year? I mean, everything considered, the money he owns, the money, the dead money left there, and the roster, how it's made up right now.
Like you said, they have to. Some decision has to be made, and we thought this past season at cornerback was sort of a watershed moment where they had to make a decision.
Hey, they got Cinquez Golson, so he's there as a rookie, a high round pick for you next year, right?
I mean, think about it. They didn't go in free agency, and everybody the kind of the spin on that was, well, they really had a lot of faith in Antoine Blake and William Gay can be number one corner, and Cortez Allen come back, but their actions from the draft through the first week of training camp, when they drafted two cornerbacks of the first four picks, and then traded. Essentially, he's another draft pick on a cornerback, a veteran guy from Philadelphia, and the aforementioned Brandon Boykin, and then claimed another cornerback in the final week of training camp off of waivers. So they brought in essentially four guys there. Two of them aren't playing for you at all so far. One of them because he hasn't earned his way onto the roster yet. And actually, I guess you could say three of them aren't playing at all because, I mean, Boykin, what did you say, 17 snaps and seven of them were last
17
week.
17 snaps so, out of 480, something like that, defensive snaps.
In 7 weeks. But something has to be done. And you know they're not going to go out and sign a big-name corner. Now maybe they'll go and get another cheaper. I would imagine they'll bring back – listen, I'm not going to sit here and break down what they're going to do next offseason yet before they do that. But, yes, some of these guys have to come back. You have to think somebody has to come back. They can't go out and get an entirely new secondary.
Well,
maybe they can.
Look what happened last year. All their outside linebackers were – none of them were coming back, right? Worlds was not under contract. Moats wasn't under contract.
Harrison
wasn't under contract. The only person they had under control was, I think, Jarvis. And they picked up Sean Lemon, and we thought he was going to be the guy. I guess it's more of a – I think it's the hot-button topic right now just for the fact that you give him $25 million. And I've said this way before, Ralph. I think it has all to do with the decision of the Steelers felt – they felt – I don't know. They felt they had to give this guy some money because Keenan Lewis, they screwed up with him. They decided to let him get the free agency rather than give him his money. He left. He said, see, I'm going to get New Orleans. I'm playing well there. I'm making money there. They said, uh-oh, we can't let this happen to Cortez Allen, so let's give him money. I guess in hindsight, it looks back and you're saying, that's a bad decision, Ralph, but I think it's a decision they probably had to make, right? Did they, even though he didn't play that many snaps, do you have to take a chance on one of these guys every once in a while?
I think you're dead on about that, Mark. I think it's exactly what happened. You know, you figure, hey, wait a minute, you know, we lost this guy who eventually we thought was going to replace, like Taylor maybe. But I think they came out of this camp thinking, considering the fact that they gave Dorian Grant, you know, like Taylor's number before, you know, his retirement was even cold. I guess a last slap in the back. But to me, they thought that Dorian Grant was going to be the guy. He was the fourth-round draft pick. I think even they knew that Cinque Coast was going to have some problems, you know, when they drafted him in the second round. You know, but you want to be in a position where you're not caught, you know, not having enough players at a position. I think every team thinks about that. You know, but there are other teams in this league who have a similar situation. You know, with the Steelers, you look at the Patriots. You know, they've lost any number of linebackers over the years, or defensive linemen. And instead of going through and getting nuts in free agency, they draft a player that they feel is going to be best suited. I think the Steelers wanted to go that route. It's why they picked up two corners. But neither one of them worked out. No more than Curtis Brown and Cortez Allen did 5 years ago in that draft. You know, so they'll be struggle, you know, in trying to find the right players. I don't know what it is. This team can hit many times on linebackers. They can hit many times drafting in the middle of the draft or the end of the draft on the wide receivers, you know, like Antonio Brown, like Emmanuel Sanders. But for the life of them, you know, Chris and Mark, they can't hit it with cornerbacks, well, defensive backs in general. And so I don't know. Maybe it comes down to player evaluation. Maybe it comes down to the player personnel department is why this team cannot find corners, you know, that they can work into their defense.
I see Buzz looking up some stats, so this should be interesting.
I got a real quick tangent. Just because you were talking about outside linebackers and what they were going to do in this last season and everything, how about Howard Jones has played two games for Tampa Bay. In one game, he had two sacks. The other game, he had a fumble return for a touchdown. And he's only played a small handful of snaps. That's
so you're saying they're keeping the wrong players.
So the only guy in the Steelers, the outside linebacking corps, has more sacks is Bud Dupree.
Well,
and he's played in, you know, Howard Jones played essentially a half of football.
Well, you look at, what's his name from Arizona, what was his name? The defensive lineman from Stanford, Josh, whatever. What was his name?
Josh Morrow.
Yeah, Josh Morrow. He's playing like four or five different positions. So it's not
exactly.
Only, I mean, people say, oh, you know what? Kevin Colbert sucks and he needs fired. He's terrible. You know, once you give these players to the coach, they have to first coach them up, then decide whether or not they're right for, you know, they have the ability to stick. And apparently they were wrong on a couple of them, at least, that we know of.
I mean, it's just kind of the very first game, he gets two sacks. I don't,
yeah,
you know, whatever. It is what it is.
He had a touchdown last week.
A touchdown, like a fumble return for a touchdown in a second career. But whatever. It is what, you know, I mean, where were you going to put? You already had signed. You made a decision to bring back Harrison.
Move him to defensive end, put some poundage on him or something. Something like that, right?
Yeah,
they probably should talk about the current team, right?
Probably.
The current team, and, you know, they are 4-3, and they are, what? Are they in second place?
Yes.
No, I don't even look at
the rest of the division is
they can maybe clinch. They can maybe clinch going in right here or whatever. I had something interesting to say about the Kansas City game, and I just can't remember. Oh, yeah. The missed tackles. This is the thing that baffles me. Although, they didn't per se, you know, practice tackling yesterday. But there was some hitting going on in practice yesterday, stuff that you typically don't see. They had to miss anywhere between 15 and 20 tackles, and that might have been just on one play right there. Buzz, why do teams I mean, it's not like it's just the Steelers. I don't believe in, well, you know, there's so much limited time here, so they can't practice. If you're in the NFL, you should be able to tackle. You shouldn't have to practice. Why are these guys stinking tackling?
We've been saying now for probably about a decade or so, you know, is that the one thing that's happening in the NFL with so much emphasis on offense I don't think coaches even go to the fundamentals about tackling anymore. And also, now it seems to me in this league, and you see it now in college, you see it in high school, occasionally I get a chance to go watch a Friday night game in high school. And you see kids from now launching themselves, they're throwing up bodies, you know, at running back. You know, sometimes you can get away with that if you hit Dree Archer. You know, you may just slash him and knock him out. But the problem is when you're facing big running backs, the way the Steelers faced on Sunday, you know, you look at, you know, West, you know, Shane Kendrick West, I can't believe I just pronounced his name right.
I don't think you did, but go ahead.
This is a big back. And they were launching themselves again. The same kind of things that will get you penalty, get you fines in this league, they continue to do. Everyone's trying to get style points. This is why the Steelers are missing tackles. You want to throw your shoulder pass, but that's no laying your shoulder. You know, when we play football in high school or whatever, they tell you, you know, wrap him up. This is what the Steelers were talking about after the game in the locker room, is that we've got to move our feet. We've got to wrap him up. We've got to drive him to the ground. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do during the game, and this is why they missed so many tackles. And it wasn't so much the number of tackles that they did. It was the critical moments in which they made those missed tackles. Whether it's on a 40-yard, you know, catch and carry, you know, by one of the receivers. I can't even think of his name now. But there were some unknown guys who were just busting loose and busting free. Albert Wilson, who it was. And it's like, here we go. These guys are just little players, short players, you know, making the Steelers miss because they weren't wrapping up. These are fundamental things in football. It just drives me nuts. But see, like you said, it's just not the Steelers. It's everybody throughout this league.
I have a theory. I have a theory why there's missed tackles. There's just been so much emphasis putting on getting the ball out, stripping, creating turnovers. And if you look on that one play, I think the play you're talking about with the catch and run where Spence missed a tackle and Timmons and Jarvis, they're all going after the ball. They're all going after the ball trying to create turnovers, and that's been just so ingrained in everybody. Got to force turnovers. And sometimes when you do that, you let guys go. I mean, I know the proper technique is have the guy secured, stand him up and let your buddies come help him, or at least make sure it's secured before you start ripping the ball out. I think they're just wanting to make the splash plays, and sometimes that happens. And
Tomlin says he drills, but the fact is, Wilson ran through a defensive lineman, he ran through a linebacker, then he ran right through the tackle of Sean Spence on a 36-yard run in that final scoring drive. You know, so those are plays, you know, where to me, you simply sometimes get physically beat. That's okay. I'm all right with that run because you don't want to take anything away from West on that run. It was a great run. But that play that we're talking about on the sideline, yeah, I understand it's splash plays, but you also have to make the tackle. That's the bottom line, because if you make that play, he gains 1 or 2 yards and not 40 yards instead of a field goal.
That's one of the things that when they struggle defensively, it seems that always is the reason why, you know, missed tackles. How many times did we hear it last year, Buzz? It was like every time.
Well, I think that's a lot of time, but I think that you can't just diminish this, the lack of practice time, the lack of pads and everything.
I think it is. You're not going to sit there and just start, you know, Le'Veon, run the ball up the middle and let's tackle him.
I mean, they don't even tackle him
preseason.
How many reps do receivers get running routes? How many reps do quarterbacks get in throwing? How many reps do kickers get kicked? You have reps over and over and over in every sport. How many reps do hockey players get shooting a puck? How many reps do batting practice? So you're not taking any reps tackling people. How do you expect to be good at it? I mean, I'm not saying they should do it or whatever.
There's drill. I mean, these routes they run in practice, you know, the individuals for running wide receivers is a drill. So you do the drill with the dummy and you break down, you get low, you raise, you know, everything you tell somebody to make a tackle on.
I get it, but that's not the same as a real life body coming at you. And I'm not suggesting that they should drill it or they should, you know, you can't do live tackling. I get it, but why do you, you know?
If you're not good at a skill,
everything else in the world you practice at every sport and everything.
You mean a skill? You just grab somebody and tackle them.
Actually, there's really interesting stuff about going back to Ohio, Ralph. It's just the story of the day here talking about Ohio, but Ohio State and their rugby tackling, how they have adopted that and how it could maybe
revolutionize. What the hell are you talking about?
It's the style of tackling, and because it's safer, it's actually more effective. I've done a lot of reading on it.
The rugby tackle. Why don't you do a Sunday story on it? Maybe I'll bring that up next Wednesday. the rugby tackling. Well, you know, it's about that time.
Sounds like a Bob Cohn idea.
We'll step aside here for a minute. We'll be back here on the Steelers Roundtable on Triple Live Radio.
Go Planets from Mars National Bank, one true community bank, online at marsbank.com.
Now back to the Steelers Roundtable on Trib Live Radio.
I like our music.
Is it even music? I guess we have a limited selection of music, copyright and infringement, the old Napster. It was Napster before your time, Buzz?
I'm not 8 years old.
I don't know. Did you use Napster?
Yes, I used Napster.
Were you a Napster guy? I loved Napster.
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, it was before its
what
time.
What is Napster?
You know what? We should talk a little bit about our trip to Kansas City, and I always like to tell Ralph Polk stories from the road. This time we went. You remember last time we told the story about Ralph going nuts because they didn't have ginger ale at a barbecue joint, so he snapped. This time they didn't. The lady told him he had ginger ale, then he didn't, and Ralph kept his composure this time. I was quite happy. But let me tell you something. We went to a place in Kansas City called Jack Stacks on Saturday, and I never. Ralph ate mushrooms the size of Buzz's head. Ralph can put the food away. You know what? When it comes down to it, Buzz, I know nobody can hold a candle to you. But Ralph put on a show Saturday night. Ralph, defend yourself about.
Mark Cavoli has a flair for the exaggeration. I think we all know this. But those mushrooms, they were huge. And my wife would have been proud because she loved mushrooms. That was even a little too much for me.
You know what he did? He ate all this meat. Then he goes, yeah, I'll take broccoli too. And he said, hey, anybody want any broccoli? Who needs the broccoli? But he also got a dessert. This is a vet move. On the road, you're full because you eat about 30 pounds of carcass. Ralph goes, give me a dessert, but I'll just take it back to the room.
Bread pudding. But I'd rather have the carrot cake that you had.
I did have the carrot cake.
And I must say, though, in that first half of that game, you would think the Steelers spent all night at Jack Stacks.
A little lethargic.
They were awfully sluggish.
So was Rob Rossi. I think he had some diverticulitis or something after that. He had some rotten meat in his he was struggling after that. He was struggling the next day. He had, like, meat sweats going on. I don't know what meat sweats, but apparently that's a word now. I don't know. All right, we should get back to this Steelers issue. Something shocked me yesterday that I was absolutely shocked by.
Word has it that
Antonio Brown was approached by Heath Miller and told him to shut your goddamn trap and quit whining about balls. They'll come your way. La da 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 da.
Wait a minute.
That's Mark. The word on you the know, street.
But here's the deal, Chris. Every time I tell Mark Cavoli that it's time for Antonio Brown to just stop whining, stop being a diva and just play the game, he defends it. And now finally, Heath Miller, who I think Heath Miller is not only a stand-up guy, but he strikes me as a type. He wants to win football games. He doesn't want any distractions. And I think that's basically what it came down to. I don't think it's Antonio Brown. I think it would have been anybody. Anybody in that situation, Heath Miller probably would have done the same thing. You know, and I think that's just who he is.
We're talking
about a lot
Heath
of guys
Miller
talk about
now.
Being a team guy. I think that's who Heath Miller is.
We're talking about Heath Miller. He doesn't say anything to anybody. I mean, he's like a little mouse, and he's like the anti-football guy. You know, anti-typical football meathead type of guy. He's a guy that just does his job and leave. I ask Antonio – apparently Antonio Brown said this on his radio show, and he gets paid for it. So I guess he has to, provide some content. So I ask him about it. He goes, I'm not allowed to say it anymore. I'm going to get in trouble. I said, well, you just said it yesterday. Just say it again. It kind of shocked me. I think that's all in the past. Buzz, Ben's back. Who gets involved more this week with Ben Beck, Heath Miller, or Antonio Brown? Because as we do know, both of those guys have been MIA without the big guy.
Behind well, mm-hmm. If you go by relative, considering Heath had zero catches, I think he'll get exponentially more. He only had one catch the past 2 weeks combined.
That's crazy to me. I mean, so, his routes are 5 yards and turn left or turn right. I can make those completions. So I don't understand
how many times you hear it's the cliche almost, which is a very simplistic cliche. But you hear, oh, young quarterback, a tight end's his best friend. You know, that's where he goes. That's where he's going to look. It's something easy to dump it off to. And well, I know Mike Vick's not a young quarterback, but Landry Jones certainly is still a young, inexperienced quarterback at the NFL level anyway. Well, you know. Brown had a pretty good statistical game this past game. So either way, I don't think Ben will be back to being Ben, but considering how many catches was Brown, I mean, Brown was getting his 550 in the first quarter when Ben was playing the first couple weeks.
He was like 20-some-odd catches in that first. Or like
well, you had the numbers in your story the other day.
It was
more targets under Ben in 3.5,
once Once I hit send on those stories, those numbers, I don't have enough room to store that space in my, you know, what was that?
You got to get a plug-in
external. I'm like George Costanza, you know, I'm only used like 5% of my brain and stuff, you know. You ever see that episode?
Yeah,
well, something like that.
Whatever. I'm not going to get it.
Well, we're going to change gears a little bit because I think this is goofy topic. This topic of these guys getting fined yesterday that's come, I got a question for both of you guys. Forget about the actual being fined, but to me, it looked like these two set this up to get fined just so they had something to...
I feel like William Gay even said that pretty much.
He's been doing it. He did it once last year. He did it 3 times this year. But D'Angelo even said, hey, some other guy's been doing it, so I wanted to see if they were going to find me doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we missing the point here if you're against the cause or you're against the league? Which one is it? I mean, I just had something... Just how they said, hey, you know, I don't care about this. I know I did something wrong, but look, I'm doing awareness. I think that sends a – how they orchestrated this, and if you knew how it happened in the morning locker room where they went to one network person to give her this story just so it can get out there and this be blown up so that's like that, it just had a bad taste in my mouth. Buzz, you know.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you don't care.
Something needs to be, because I'm surprised the NFL needs to somehow spin or at least explain their side or get some, because they keep getting hit on this and they have this uniform policy and it's uniform for everybody and they need to somehow explain it because they are good causes, right? And I understand, and I'm sure it's very personal to both of them, and all three of them, when you throw Cam Mayweather, there's very personal reasons why they want to do these things and whatever it is. But the NFL had its policy, and the old slippery slope or whatever it is. But the league just does this and looks cold, and everybody bashed him, and you hear every commentary and call him and whatever it is. Oh, and Ralph is that upset about this that he can't even... He's had enough. He's had enough. He didn't like what I was saying about it. But I just think
the Squirrel Hill tunnels.
The NFL needs to explain themselves better because it just looks, you know, it goes on again and again.
No, I think Cam Hayward said it good. I think maybe if October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, make it Everything Awareness Month, then you can do whatever the darn well you please. If you say save the pugs on your eye blacks, go whatever. You know, humane, whatever. But anything before, maybe even not a month, maybe 1 week. Anything after that or before that, you're getting fined. This one day, knock yourself out. Is that even a possibility?
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem with the way it's written is what's considered legitimate. There's a point where something's not considered a legitimate cause, right?
What's a legitimate cause?
And how do you tell that person, like, oh, that's not important enough? That's not cancer, or that's not whatever. You can't talk. Well, this, you know, whatever. I died. My family member was injured by or harmed by, or, you know, whatever it is. There's a point. So I don't even know. You know, it's a tough to navigate. But I think anybody with a brain would say, okay, talking about, you know, this guy had his mother killed in domestic violence, that he can talk of, or he can somehow do it. But then, if what about this person that had this grievance, and somebody this, or his buddy, you know, had something done, you know, whatever it is, and then you go down to messages and political messages, and
mind you,
and
who not, knows what. It's not like they're fining them hundreds of thousands of bucks. They're fining them $5,000. $5,000 for a guy making a couple million bucks is like.
Well, that's kind of my point. The NFL looks worse, and they're not. They don't. The money actually goes to certain causes. It's not like.
But not the cause that they want to go to.
They want. You're right.
It's the causes that they deem, you know, the United Way and whatever else they're affiliated with.
Whatever
they think that money's going to domestic violence and maybe breast cancer because they got a partnership with them, but that's not going to happen. Ralph, you have anything to add to this? Do you have? I mean, should
you know? I tell you what. What you said. We were talking yesterday about the whole thing with D'Angelo Williams and Devin Steele. That was more troubling to me than anything. You know, about just the whole attitude about that. I understood the league and Devin Steele's situation with his daughter. I think that was not just the NFL. I think the country, and in many ways the world, who was connected with this story, had rallied around his sick daughter. And I think the insensitivity that clearly – you know, exhibited there by D'Angelo Williams, it disturbed me personally.
Yeah.
Now, but beyond that, I look at the league has to have certain rules in place. There are uniform rules. You have to have them. Or this is just like a ragtag organization. You know, and for the league, everything is about image. Everything is about uniformity. Everything is about a very professional, clean-looking look. I mean, it just has to have it. They spend too much money, you know, for things not to work and to go into play. Now, as long as the players understand, and they do, with you know, and these are rules put in place in agreements between the union and the league, is that, you know, as long as the players understand that they're going to be fined X amount of dollars and they want to do it, then that's fine. You know, I think as long as it's not gaudy and ridiculous, you know, the league, I think that's why the fines are what they are, $5,000. I don't have a problem with the league levying fines against players, you know, for uniform violations of any sort. You know, but the real bottom line is, I think someone alluded to this, is that, you know, if you're going to fine these players this amount of money, at least put it to the cause of which they are getting, you know, fined for. I think that would make more sense. And I think as long as the league, as far as protecting the image, would let all the fans know that, and I think most people say, okay, well, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, and the players would be okay with it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, if you came to your job with some sort of message on it and they said, hey, don't do that anymore, you probably don't do that anymore, right? I mean, why do they feel the need?
You get fired.
Yeah, why do you feel the need? I mean, do you really think that I'm watching William Gay play, or not maybe me, because I know what's going on, you know what's going on. The average person say, oh my, he got purple cleats on. He must be for, you know, domestic violence abuse. Nobody's going to know that.
No one's going to think that.
Nobody's going to know that.
So the irony is that the fine is actually what's, because you can, no one
the
would
fine
would
is what he, if he didn't get the fine,
no one knows.
He's done it three times before that and never got fined.
Yeah, well, that's the same.
So
Cameron
he
Hayward happened.
That's
for,
why I kept
weeks
asking
weeks
him. I said, "You did this before? Yes. You never got fined before? No. It was like, hey, I finally got fined. Now I can talk about it. I mean,
but, and that's what the league. That's what the league gets in trouble. I think, from an image standpoint, the inconsistencies in which they enforce any number of rules in this league, and sometimes, you know, not just about uniform, about the rules themselves. You know, when it involves play, you know, what is the catch? What isn't the catch? You know, what's a fumble, what's not a fumble. And these are the kind of problems that are going to always play this league, are the inconsistencies. But you know what? They're turning on TVs. Their fans will go out and buy their tickets to go to games. They're going to watch it on television because it's a national football league. It's the most popular sport in the world.
I don't understand.
Are just blow over.
These players, the majority of them are making a doggone nice salary. And I've never heard another guy part of a different company or a normal company complain as much as NFL football players about their company who pays them millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
I mean, can you think of any other one? Does the NBA complain about the NBA players complain about the NBA? Do the MLB complain about the state of the MLB? I mean, these guys are making a lot of money. A lot of money, and they're moaning and complaining. There's nothing.
That's why they moan and complain, because they make a lot of money.
I know.
I mean, you know, sport professional athletes, we all know that's the way it is. It's not a knock on the guys. They work hard to get to where they are, you know, and they're just, you know, products of the environment. They're conditioned to be a certain way. You know, it's about the game. It's the game. But they all should accept the fact that if you're going to violate, you know, the rules, then you're going to get fined. That's it. And stop crying about it. I think most players are okay with that.
I think you'd I think you'd be shocked and realize what these guys do get fined from socks to shirts untucked to you know, throwing the ball in the stands to wearing visors. These guys wear visors, and I believe there might only be one guy that has the doctor's okay to, because you need a prescription to wear those. They don't care. It looks cool, so they're good to go.
Did D'Angelo do it in Carolina?
Yeah, I see.
I always get, before D'Angelo got here, I get him and Deshaun Foster and Jonathan Stewart all confused.
Deshaun Foster is certainly, maybe Barry Foster, too?
I'm just saying.
Foster was like 15 years ago.
The Carolina running back, what does that mean? Did he wear a visor? I remember seeing a good Carolina running back.
All right. Since it takes you 7 minutes to arrow up, arrow down, we probably should start this right now. And Tomlin said that during his press conference today. I forget who his arrow was pointing up on. Was it Boykin? Somebody's arrow was pointing up. Somebody was pointing up. Who should I start here with? I don't want to start. I'll give you some time, Buzz. Ralph, since you're on the road, since you're somewhere between Columbus and Cincinnati, arrow up, arrow down. Take her away.
Well, you know, guys, I'm very positive. I'm going to go with my arrow up first of all. And if you're looking back and you're looking forward, you know, I think my arrow up still, you know, it's going to be. I'm always looking at the offensive line in some way. You know, I know you guys are down on Alejandro Villanueva. I think you guys are, I hope I got that right. But anyway, you guys are hard on that guy. But I think essentially, the middle of that offensive line, I don't care what you think about Cody Walls. I still think, you know, the middle of the offensive line has done a pretty good job. My arrow up really is David DeCastro. I think DeCastro has had a great year. He's not missing a lot of blocks. And I think in this game against the Bengals, you can see them running a lot behind him. They're doing a lot what they did against the Bengals last year. Those plays where DeCastro is a pulling guard and opening up the scene with Heath Miller, you know, helping in the blocking scheme. You know, I think that, you know, my arrow up is for, you know, David DeCastro more than anything. But my arrow down, again, you know, it's got to be somebody on the defense with all those missed tackles. I guess I can just say missed tackles and arrow down. But I'm going to say, for me, the huge arrow down, he was watching Ryan Shazier. You know, play on Sunday. He may be an easy target. His first game back after missing, I guess, four games. Yeah, but to me, he wasn't physically capable in many ways to play. So I'm putting a lot of this on the coaches. I think they're playing Shazier too soon. I don't think he looked good. I think maybe sending him another two or three won't hurt this football team.
So it's arrow up was David DeCastro, Pro Football Focus, ironically or coincidentally, ranked him as like a guy that what would they rank him? Needs replaced. His grade's so low, so that tells you what you need to know about Pro Football Focus.
They have no
Focus.
Idea what they're talking about, by the way.
And it tells you what you need to know about them. And Ralph's arrow down was who was his arrow down?
Gotta see you're paying attention.
Right,
Shazier. Buzz, Shazier. Take your 12 minutes and go.
I'm gonna go arrow up. I'll admit that I was wrong on Landry. I thought Landry Jones didn't stand a chance to be even an adequate, warm body, third string NFL quarterback. And the way he performed, hey, he's a backup quarterback. That's what he is.
He's our number two next year, hands down. Don't even think about it.
It's not a knock on Bruce. He's an NFL backup quarterback. He's one of the top 64 in the world at what he does. He's in the second tier of that 64, but that's by definition, that's what a backup quarterback is. And he has an NFL future as being a backup quarterback, which I'll admit I was wrong on that. Arrow down. I'm going to go with Marcus Wheaton. he's now, he hasn't had more than two catches since week one. And he had three catches in week one. He hasn't had more than 18 yards receiving in four of the past five games. The only game being the exception was the long catch, in San Diego, the 72-yard catch. So he has 12 catches in the entire season. We're 7 weeks in the season and he has 12 receptions. Now, you know, whatever. His production's way down, so that's why his arrow's down, no matter what factors are involved in it.
So, well, you're done now.
I could have kept going, but
that's excellent, bud.
Oh, hey, look at that. I got excellent. Plus, wow.
You know what? It hasn't hurt him, though. He gave us all fist bumps yesterday.
He did. Hey, look at that.
I don't know what that was about. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Like, hey, guys.
And Marcus Wheaton, a nice man. How can you not give arrow up to the big guy, Ben Roethlisberger?
We all have different interpretations.
How in the world, the guy?
Oh man!
The guy's coming in after a major, major knee injury. 5 weeks, forcing his way through it. He's out on that practice field screaming at everybody.
Where's the Kool-Aid?
Come on! Give it to the quarterback. The quarterback is the difference maker, and he might stink on Sunday, but he's still probably going to put up about 350 and about three touchdowns. That might not be enough, but my arrow up is Ben Roethlisberger. For sure. I can't believe you totally.
He'll be a down next week.
I can't believe we give it to him.
The best part about arrow up or down is you can interpret however you want. Going into the next week, what he did the previous week, or this overall feel, you can go off the field.
Well, Marcus taking liberties with this, obviously. Flexibility of the rules.
Sorry, you know what? I'm going arrow down here too. I'm just going Stephon to it, just because I think he's lying to us all.
What?
He said last week, not that bad of a knee injury, and just being okay. Let me quote him: "We're just being precautious." That's his word, not mine. He's being precautious. Antonio Brown's being, what's the word he uses all the time now?
Definitely.
No, he uses a word incorrectly. He's, whatever.
Get our hands cut out for us.
No, that was Heinz's word. There ain't no way Stephon Tuitt's playing this week again.
No, I think he's
been goaded into telling us that he's okay, and it's a couple-week injury. So I say just for the fact that he's lying to me gives me arrow down. I'm not calling him a liar. I'm saying he's being forced to lie to us by some
you
other.
You just say he's lying.
He's being forced to lie to us.
He's being told to lie.
I always wonder.
See, the bosses tell you to lie, they'll do it. That's no problem. But the bosses tell you to wear the right uniform, nobody listens.
That's what's crazy about this all, man. I mean, these guys are call themselves God-fearing humans, but they better go to freaking church every day because they sure lie enough. That's it. We're done. That was the Steelers Roundtable with Ralph somewhere in this great state of Ohio that he tends to hate. And Buzzsaw and myself here high atop the North Shore Studios. We will see ya next week from... Who they play next? Oh, they play Cincinnati. Whatever. We'll be back here next week on the Steelers Roundtable on Triple Live Radio.